Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Let's go first to the United States in what could be the only debate between Republican Donald Trump and Democrat Kamala Harris before polling day. If you did stay up to watch it, or if you have been watching it back this morning, we'd love to hear your opinion. Who do you think won? Was it fair? Could it even change the outcome of the election? A reminder of the text number again, 51551. Well, in combative and often fiery exchanges, the former president and current vice president, they clashed over the economy, immigration and reproductive rights. They were both seeking that campaign-altering moment because it's currently a neck-and-neck race.
Her vice presidential pick says abortion in the ninth month is absolutely fine. He also says execution after birth, it's execution, no longer abortion, because the baby is born, is okay. And that's not okay with me, hence the vote.
The government, and Donald Trump certainly, should not be telling a woman what to do with her body. Pregnant women who want to carry a pregnancy to term, suffering from a miscarriage, being denied care in an emergency room because the healthcare providers are afraid they might go to jail, and she's bleeding out in a car in the parking lot. She didn't want that.
Well, later, the moderator, David Moore, asked the former president where his priorities lie on Ukraine.
Do you want Ukraine to win this war?
I want the war to stop. I want to save lives that are being uselessly, people being killed by the millions. It's the millions. It's so much worse than the numbers that you're getting, which are fake numbers. Look, we're in for $250 billion or more. Because they don't ask Europe, which is a much bigger beneficiary to getting this thing done than we are. They're in for $150 billion less because Biden and you don't have the courage to ask.
What we have done to preserve the ability of Zelensky and the Ukrainians to fight for their independence. Otherwise, Putin would be sitting in Kyiv with his eyes on the rest of Europe, starting with Poland. And why don't you tell the 800,000 Polish Americans right here in Pennsylvania how quickly you would give up for the sake of favor and what you think is a friendship with what is known to be a dictator who would eat you for lunch?
Well, both landed blows, but while Harris needled Trump several times, did she move the needle in convincing undecided voters? And having dispatched Joe Biden in the last high-stakes debate, did Donald Trump successfully reset to take on his new opponent?
I believe in what we can do together. That is about sustaining America's standing in the world and ensuring that we have the respect that we so rightly deserve.
So she just started by saying she's going to do this, she's going to do that, she's going to do all these wonderful things. Why hasn't she done it? She should leave right now, go down to that beautiful White House, go to the Capitol, get everyone together and do the things you want to do, but you haven't done it and you won't do it.
Well, joining me on the line now is Marion McKeown, US correspondent with the Business Post. Marion, good morning to you.
Good morning to you, Claire.
So Kamala Harris, as we heard there, certainly seemed to manage to get under Donald Trump's skin. But his last words of the debate, and they were his last words, they're likely to stick with people too. Was there a clear winner in your view?
Yeah, I think that she performed really above expectations. In it, you know, just from having watched the entire debate and seeing how she really took control from the moment she walked on stage, and she's physically not a big woman. She's probably about 5'4", maybe wearing a 2-inch heel. Donald Trump is 6'2", 6'3". And she went over to him and basically made him shake hands with her. She invaded his part of the stage. I mean, no, all these body language experts tell us all about that, about claiming your space. And then really from the get-go, she did things that a prosecutor would do. There were moments where I was reminded of a Law and Order episode where she said, you know, basically the other side is going to just tell you a load of lies and grievances and the same old playbook. So she didn't just set out her stall, she also set out his stall for him, Donald Trump's, which of course he wouldn't have liked at all. And then just the needling and the expressions, I mean, her expressions were, she looked at him with bemusement at times. She looked at him with what looked like pity at times. There were times when she just laughed at what he said. But you could see that at times he looked at him as if to go, you know, I'm really trying to figure out what is wrong with you? Like, she was really giving him that look of almost the way you'd look at some strange thing you didn't really recognize. And I think it was all calculated to get under his skin. And then she got very tough. She landed some pretty brutal barbs, and knowingly, and, you know, talk about walking somebody into a trap. And just one of the examples, and I'm sure it's one you're familiar with already, was the immigration thing question came up. And that is one of her biggest vulnerabilities. She's mentioned how Donald Trump had killed the border security bill, that the bipartisan one that she and Joe Biden had put together, out of self-interest, because he wanted to keep it as a live issue for the election. But then she segued into talking about his rallies and said, you know, he talks about everything, Hannibal Lecter, blah, 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 and then said, but what you'll notice if you go to one of them is halfway through, people start leaving early out of exhaustion and boredom. And you could see Trump's eyes just pop up immediately. And, you know, the fury on his face. And then he immediately then, like, he had a chance to go back and hit her on immigration, because he was asked by the moderator then to respond to the allegation he had killed the bill, and he went straight into Haitians eating cats and dogs in Springfield, Ohio. You know, this appalling rumor that is not just thoroughly debunked by the city authorities, but one that is so inherently racist, so virulent. And these immigrants who are in Springfield, Ohio, are all legally there. They all have work permits. They are perfectly legal. And to spread this around and say, and then when he was fact-checked on that, he said, well, I saw it on TV. They're using the dogs for food. It was like the most bizarre moment you could imagine in a debate exchange.
And then in response to that question as well, he goes back to what she said about his rallies. And you can imagine his campaign team with their heads in their hands at that point. Because
you can almost hear them groaning.
Exactly, because they had said to him time and time again, this is what we heard, stick to policy, stick to policy. And there were times when he did do that, Marion. I mean, he did accuse her of flip-flopping on various policy issues. He did ask her very pointedly how late into a pregnancy she'd allow an abortion. She didn't answer that question. So there were times, I'm sure, for his campaign team, he was on message.
There were a few, and she skated past quite a few things. She, you know, even the first question was from David Muir, you know, are people about being better off today than 4 years ago? If they're not, and what are you doing about it? And she did give an answer about the economy, but she didn't answer the question. And then, as you say, when Donald Trump, when she gave a very, I thought, eloquent, passionate speech about abortion, about the devastating impact of the overturning of Roe v. Wade, that it had on young girls who were victims of incest, that it had on women who were suffering miscarriages and couldn't get medical care. And she was really spoke very passionately about that. But what Donald Trump also said, which is just so wrong, like, he said basically, and it's a claim he has made repeatedly, and he has not been fact-checked on it previously, that Democrats want to be able to execute babies after they're born, full-term babies at 9 months. It's just not true. Now, Lindsay Davis, the moderator, did fact check with that, say there is no state in this country where that happens, where it's lawful, basically. But he insisted on saying it. So I think we had, in terms of, you know, she did slightly exaggerate the number about the 800,000 manufacturing jobs. It's more like 730,000. But she didn't tell any outright lies. Trump, once again, was making blatantly false allegations and accusations. But I think it was also more, there was such a contrast in their demeanors. She did look like the younger, more energetic, well, she is, you know, happier person. He was this glowering, belligerent, truculent old man, and he didn't have any very good answers for really anything. He couldn't even answer if he wanted Ukraine to win the war. And then, of course, she went at him and, you know, spoke about him favoring, you know, cozying up to strongmen dictators. And then she said with such disdain, you know, Putin would have you for lunch. And you could really see that blow landed as well. And then she said that the military generals who had worked with him called him a disgrace. You know, she got personal and she really landed some blows. And when he got back, his tirades were, he said, oh, you know, I let you into a secret. Joe Biden hates you. Everyone knows he can't stand you. And it just sounded really mean-spirited. He also said something else that I found really shocking when he was asked about claiming that she had turned black. And he said, well, I don't care, you know, what she claims to be, basically. And I read it somewhere. And then he said, and that she puts out, which is an American colloquialism, as you know, for somebody who has a lot of casual sex. And for him to say that on a stage against a presidential candidate, a fellow candidate, you know, it was just so shocking. And I haven't heard a single commentator even mention it, but he said it very clearly. It was very clear what he meant. And you could even see her face for a moment. She almost flinched. It was like that she almost couldn't believe what she heard either. But no consequence for that.
And tell me, I mean, both sides always claim victory after this, and we see the spin room afterwards, and everybody is saying we won, we won. But I mean, I know you speak to people in both campaigns, and the Republicans and the Democrats. Who is the happier after the debate?
Right. OK, now I only managed to get hold of two Republicans. Neither of them were particularly happy. One of them said that he thought that Trump could have done better on immigration, but that he did OK. But the Democrats see this as a big win. They see it as a big win. They think that Kamala Harris is the first person who Donald Trump has ever debated against, Republican or Democrat, who they think she really put him in his place. And he did seem at times to be flailing and not to know, to really be able to deal with her, because she did sort of take, you know, she spoke about when he did have legitimate things to say. You know, the Democrats and Harris, she is vulnerable on immigration. She is vulnerable on the economy. And they are the two biggest things that Americans are concerned about. But, you know, she turned around and she said, well, you know, Donald Trump left us with the worst unemployment levels, the worst managing of the pandemic. And then she went into January 6th. She did a very prosecutorial indictment of all the various, you know, his various crimes and the trials that he was involved in. And he was sort of left flailing on those things. And then he was asked if there was anything he regretted about January 6th, and he tried to blame Nancy Pelosi. It just overall was not a good night for Donald Trump. He really didn't do well. And I think she did well, but probably he helped her to look better, because she seemed in command. She seemed telegenic and engaging, where he didn't.
Now, you mentioned the fact checkers there, and after the debate, Trump's team said, well, this was 3-on-1, you know, saying it was Kamala Harris and the two moderators. Has that taken hold? Do people agree with him?
Oh, the Republicans are very angry about that. They think that the moderators should not have got involved at all. Now, I think it was 3 or 4 times I counted when something was said that was particularly egregious. For example, about, you know, Democrats wanting to execute babies after they're born. And when he spoke about, you know, Haitians eating cats and dogs in neighborhood pets in Springfield, Ohio. So they did. And I think that it was entirely appropriate for them to pick up on those things. Now, one of the Republicans I said was, they said, he said to me, well, they never fact-checked Kamala Harris. And I said, well, there wasn't really anything that she said. She did skirt around questions. She didn't answer some of the questions directly, but she didn't tell any blatant lies. As I said, she did exaggerate the number of jobs by about, you know, it's about 730, 740. She claimed 800,000. Mm-hmm. But there was nothing that was so egregious that you had to go, whoa, hang on. So I think that was the issue there.
Okay. Now, Fox News has said that it wants to have a second presidential debate in October. It has sent the letters out to both sides. Is that likely to happen? Because we've no certainty that there will be another debate. Do you think now that what happened last night shifts the dial on that?
Well, you know, I think it very well may. The Kamala Harris team came out immediately and they sent us all texts and messages saying, we've already asked for another debate. Like, literally, she was barely off the stage and they were going, well, we want another one. So I think that if it is Fox News, and it may, you know, it may be difficult for she's already said she wants another debate. So she can't really say, oh, I want another debate, just not with Fox News, you know. So I think that if she sticks to that, that she probably will go for it. The question will be, will Donald Trump agree to another debate? Because the Fox News moderators tend to be pretty objective and down the line. You know, the moderators that they've used in the past, that these are, you know, they ask straightforward questions. So I think that it's possible. I think Donald Trump should take an opportunity to try to recover some ground from this. But I suppose the thing is, Claire, at the end of the day, both sides are so entrenched and the number of undecided voters is so small. And you did hear Kamala Harris pitch directly to 800,000 Polish Americans in Pennsylvania, which is the must-win state for her, saying that basically Donald Trump would, you know, Putin's eyeing you up. He'd be in Kiev by now if Trump was president, and he'd be having his eye on Poland, and Trump would sell you out. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so I think that she really is aware of the stakes. They both are. But with this race being so tight, even though Trump came across as really truculent and pretty obnoxious, I think, a lot of the time, and even though she performed far better than him objectively, I'm not sure it's going to make all that much difference.
Right.
Trump's votes are not transferable, so, by and large. They really aren't.
So Kamala Harris can't rely on Taylor Swift's endorsement to convince the undecided.
You know what? It may get out some of the younger voters. It may well. She's also got Oprah Winfrey out doing stuff for her as well. I mean, both of these women have outsized influences in America, but we've seen time and time again with elections. I've seen it so many times. You know, you see all these Hollywood types and they all come out and they endorse certain candidates and everyone thinks this is wonderful, but it doesn't really make that much difference. What Taylor Swift may be able to do is to encourage her followers, some of them who are very young and some of them who are over 18 and probably could be voting for the first time, to register and to vote. And she just said, you know, I'm voting, childless cat lady, for Kamala Harris. I've looked at the issues, and she's more encouraging people to register and look at the issues than necessarily vote for Kamala Harris, although it's very clear where her preference lies.
All right, we'll leave it there for now. Thank you very much, Marion, for joining us this morning. That's Marion McKeown from The Business Post.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.